This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Yawm al-rabi' wal-arba'atashar min shahri Ramadan al-Mubarak. 1445 al-Muafiq li 25 من شهر مارس 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last time, and I believe last time we talked about the saying of Allah Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. They are making mockery please confirm those behind the screen, can you hear the voice? Okay, so I think those that cannot hear, maybe the problems from that, inshallah. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these people, they are making fun of the believers and thinking that they are making mockery on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own plan against them. And also because of their evil behavior, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them keep having an increase in deviation. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَهُ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Those ones, these are the ones who اشْتَرَهُ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. They had a transaction, and this transaction is based on selling the huda, the guidance given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with al-dalala. Dalala means falsehood. You have iman, you give iman to take kufr. You have righteousness, you give righteousness to take evil doing. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And for sure, if a person is to sell the righteousness, you know, with, to sell his righteousness with kufr, definitely this is the business that is kasid. Kasid means the business that a person lost in it. There's a great loss. There is no profit in this business. Selling a guidance with falsehood and kufr, there is no profit. And there can't be any profit in this business. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the munafiqeen, because they receive the guidance from Allah, but unfortunately, they refused to use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they got the guidance and they sold it to get what? To get kufr, to get misguidance. And this is also one of the evidences that you have to keep with you when talking about some of the descriptions of the munafiqeen in the future. Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Kathir said, these are the ones who used to believe in Allah, but then later on they changed their mind to kufr. Although Tabari and some other scholars said no, that the first place they never believed. But Ibn Kathir said no, looking at the context and the ayah, there are some of them who first accepted Islam sincerely. But then due to the dunya, you know, they decided to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى. That means they have the guidance, but they replace it with kufr. Yeah, they have it first and then they replace it with kufr. فَمَا رَبِحَ التِّجَارَةُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people who lost their business and they will never be guided. They will never be guided. SubhanAllah. To the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Okay, these are the description of the munafiqeen. He says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. the example and the likeness of the munafiqeen, this is just like الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Somebody who is, you know, traveling to a place. You know, in the past, they have to penetrate forest. Yeah. So this person is traveling at night. So اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا means he makes fire, light up fire, so that he can see the way, you know, he's moving. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِدُورِهِمْ. You know, so he make the fire to see what exactly is around him, you know. So he sees. He sees animals, he sees dangers, he sees things, and he knows that this is his path. If he is to follow this way, then inshallah he will succeed. However, he need that light to keep on showing him the path. And at the same time also he sees the danger around him. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. When the light shows them, you know, what is around them, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the light. So they saw the danger around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the light. So they got the light which helps them to see what is dangerous around them. And then Allah took off the light. Allah said, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُسِرُونَ. Allah left them in that darkness, on top of darkness, لَا يُسِرُونَ. They cannot see what is in front of them, they cannot see what is around them. Remember, they already saw the things, right? So they know that they are in trouble. If the light is there, they know how to escape. But now the light is not there. They might put themselves into those dangerous places, you know. So imagine what will be the situation of this guy, you know. Allah says, Summun, Bukmun, Umyun, Fahum la yarjun. SubhanAllah. He said, this guy, they became Summun. And imagine they are in that place, they are Summun, they are deaf, they cannot hear. Bukmun, they are mute, they cannot talk for them to ask for help. Even if you come to them and tell them, follow right, left, you know. And they become blind because the light is taken. Fahum la yusirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fahum la yarjun. They will never be, you know, able to come back to that light and guidance. So this is the example, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave and a parable gave, you know, for everyone who wants to know the nature of these munafiqeen. Ibn Kathir says, وَتَقْدِيرُ هَذَا الْمَثَلِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى شَبَّهَهُمْ فِي اشْتِرَائِهِمِ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَى وَصَيْرُورَتِهِمْ بَعَدَ الْبَصِيرَةِ إِلَى الْعَمَى بِمَنِ اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ وانتفع بها وابصر بها عن ما عن يمينه وشماله. Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Kathir says, this is an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us to understand the nature of these non-believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their likeness in their business, when they sell the guidance to get kufr and dalal. He says, just like somebody who used to be seeing, but now he became blind instantly. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they sold the righteousness, you know, to replace it with dalal, and they agree with blindness, you know, to replace it with, you know, basira, and ability to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the example of these guys is just like somebody who makes a fire. When the fire shows him whatever is around him, and also he benefited from that fire because he will be able to see the correct path, and he knows where to go because of that light. So he knows what is here and what is there. قَالَ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ قَالَ وَتَأَنَّسَ بِهَا فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ إِذْ طَفِئَتْ أَوْ طُفِئَتْ نَارُ. So he was like that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, cut off the fire, remove it completely. وَصَارَ فِي ظَلَامٍ شَدِيدٍ لَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يَهْتَدِي. So he became in very strong darkness, and he cannot see, where he cannot see what is in front of him, what is around him, and also nobody is there to guide him. Yeah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are bukman, they are umyun, they cannot talk, you know. So how can you guide this person? Even if you tell him where to go in. Unless if you are going to catch his hand and then he will be thinking that you are one of the enemies. And now, because he cannot hear what you are saying, he doesn't know, you know, he might be thinking that you are an enemy. قال وهو مع هذا أصم لا يسمع أبكم لا ينطق أعمى لا يرى لو كان ضياء لما أوصل. You know, even if there is light, he cannot see because of that blindness. قال فلهذا لا يرجع إلى ما كان عليه قبل ذلك. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فهم لا يرجعون. They will never be able to come back to that guidance and righteousness. وكذلك هؤلاء المنافقون في استبدالهم الضلالة عوضا عن الهدى واستحبابهم الغي واستحبابهم الغي على الرشد. وفي هذا المثل دلالة على أنهم آمنوا ثم كفروا, you know, كما أخبر تعالى عنهم في غير هذا الموضع. Ibn Kathir says, from here we learn that this type of munafiqun, they believe first, ثم كفروا, and then they change their mind. Yeah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى. They use something to buy something. That means they used to have that thing first. Right? Otherwise, where did they get the huda? If they are kuffar from day one, where did they get the huda? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they buy kufr with the dalala, then Ibn Kathir says, this shows that this is the group of the munafiqeen who used to be believers, but then they decided to change their mind. Contrary to Ibn Jarir. You know, Ibn Kathir, this tafsir, is considered as a summary of Ibn Jarir. Ibn Jarir Tabari is the one that the scholars call him Imam Ahl Sunnah fi Tafsir. Very strong person upon the correct aqidah, and his tafsir is, if not number one, one of the best tafsir that a person should be referring to get the correct approach when interpreting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to the right of Allah, names and attributes, and also good manhaj in approach. So Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Kathir, what he did, it's like he summarized this book. That's why among all the scholars of tafsir, you know, before him, Ibn Kathir always quotes Ibn Jarir. Yeah. So it's like the summarized version. If you're familiar with Ibn Jarir, also when you read Ibn Kathir, you will understand that, yes, and somehow, yeah. That Ibn Jarir has a big book, around 10 volumes of tafsir. 10 volumes of tafsir. Yeah, later on you have people who wrote much bigger than what he did of tafsir, but the value would not be as great as that of Ibn Jarir. You have the recent ones, you know, Al-Tahrir wa Tanwir, Ibn Ashur. Yeah, and one of the great Tunisian scholars, you know, feed it with different types of disciplines and knowledge. Very huge in terms of collection and rich in terms of knowledge. But the value, you know, even when you read it, you know, the value you get when, and the feeling you have when you're reading Ibn Jarir, you don't get it when you are reading his book. And it, both are excellent in terms of their approach, but you cannot compare Ibn Jarir's writing with any of the contemporary writers. And this is also good for us to understand this, because we do have people among us who are belittling the predecessors because they think the predecessors, they focus on the nusus, which is not enough. You know, I heard somebody saying that the difference between Ibn Kathir and Fi Dhilal al-Quran, written by Sayyid Qutb, is that Ibn Kathir is deficient because he focused so much on the nusus. Yeah? He focused so much on the nusus. He doesn't use those aqliniyat and logic and all of these things that much. Now, knowing that actually this is a strength, not weakness at all. The other one that focused so much on aql, you know, this one has weaknesses in it. Otherwise, the nusus are more than enough to address and to tell us what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. What is it greater than having the tafsir of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Allah himself? What is it greater? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something and you get from the Quran to tell you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant. And what is it better than translating the Quran using the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, common sense will go against any thought, any thinking that, you know, there is interpretation, you know, that is better than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, we are living in a time of ignorance. You know, whoever talks too much, we think he's a scholar. You know, whoever comes and brings strange information from the strange tafasir, gharaib tafsir, then we think he's a smart scholar, is this and that, you know. No, we have to be very careful. You know, scholarship means that you use the nusus and the best approach to interpret the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to use aql. You know, so Ibn Kathir, his book supersede anyone that comes after him. You know, look at the writings of Shawkani. Very excellent at tafsir also at the same time, but you cannot compare it with Ibn Kathir's book. It has some other approaches which Ibn Kathir did not do, you know, especially when it comes to the language, the lugha, but Ibn Kathir also has other approaches which are greater than what he was doing. And there we go. The people who came afterwards, their compilation will never be better than never be better than the one that is written by the predecessors. So it's my personal, you know, message to the students who are studying tafsir or want to expand their knowledge. Focus so much on the books written by the predecessors. Wallahi, barakah is in that place. Real knowledge is there. Real knowledge is there. You know, the contemporary scholars and the other scholars who came after them, you know, although they give you a lot of knowledge, you know, but they mention a lot. The previous one is concise, straight to the point, but it has a lot of benefits. You know, it's your job to take those principles and expand. Yeah, so you can finish a book within a short period of time, many times you can finish it, and you become a scholar. Whereas if you were to take the book written by one of the contemporary, you take a longer time, and also when you come back, the amount of what you memorize from it is very little. And there is no ta'asil also in it. You know, those ones are trying to make you somebody who can be, the community can rely upon him. You know, that's in the past. And in our time, we're trying to make you mudallal. Our scholars are trying to make us mudallali. Mudallal means a son of a rich person who gets everything he needs, everything he wants, and everything he asks for, he gets it. You know, so we get everything being cooked for us, we just have to eat it. But in the past, no. They make you somebody who can do it by himself without relying upon anybody else. And that's better, you know, that's better for the students. So my point here is, focus so much on the books written by the predecessors, more than the way you focus on the book or books written by the contemporary scholars. I'm not saying they have no value, they do have. But if you are looking for knowledge, you're looking for more value, you know, then you have to hold upon those books written by the predecessors, because they are so rich, much more richer in terms of information and also accuracy than any book written by a contemporary scholar. So Ibn Kathir sometimes agrees with Ibn Jarir and sometimes disagrees with Ibn Jarir. It doesn't matter. Sometimes the sabiq taraka ashya lillahiqin. And the scholar said, the sabiqun, sometimes they leave some gap, you know, for the people who will come and continue. Rather than feeding their books with everything, it will be too lengthy. They leave some space for the future people to come and do. That's what we call in our research, future, you know, research, right? You at the end of your thesis, you advise. Future research could be done in this field and that, because you don't tackle it in your own research. So in the past, a person might be, you know, having shortage of a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they don't have what we have. But then later on, the current scholars, they might get things which the predecessors did not get. It was there in the past, but scattered here and there. You get the idea? Nowadays, we have all the hadiths in one library. Go to those big libraries and see huge collections of hadiths, books that you never imagined them to exist. They do exist, of the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the past, they were not there. You know, so you might find a scholar, you know, trying his best to get some information about evidence, but he couldn't. Why? Because they don't have it in that place. But we do have. Does that mean we are more knowledgeable than them? No. It's just the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, in our time, technology brought everything to your house, you know. Technology brought everything to your house. But this makes people also lazier. You know, in the past, they have to travel, they have to go and face a lot of difficulties for them to get one hadith. One hadith. Nowadays, from your room, just open your device, and then whatever hadith you want, you just get it. Thousands of them, you know. You get them and you analyze, whatever, if you have the quality to do, I mean qualification to do the analysis. But as I said, our laziness, unfortunately, is much greater than theirs. We have everything, we don't utilize it. They have little, but they utilize every single thing they have. They travel, they don't mind going to every place, you know. I remember they were talking about one of the scholars, you know, I can't recall his name. He said he went to a place to study. And he left his family. He told them, inshallah, I will be back, but I want to study. And so he went to this city. He found that this city, subhanAllah, is full of scholars. Is the hobby of the people in that place to be students. Yeah. So he spent ages in that place. One day he saw a letter from his wife. Yeah, she sent a letter. And this letter is scary because it is from the wife. In the Islamic University of Medina, you know, we had a lot of stories, you know. You know, subhanAllah. In the past, you know, alhamdulillah, we just came to the university, I guess that system has been cancelled. Otherwise, in the past, if you fail, and they're very strict, the pass mark, passing mark is 60 out of 100. And if you get 59.999, trust me, that sheikh will not give. He says, it's justice. You don't get it, you don't deserve it. So you have to repeat the whole semester, and he doesn't care. He says, justice has to be applied. You don't deserve. Why would he give you, you know, this? Until the time the university find out that, no, this is really problematic because there are a lot of students who are at the edge. And the sheikh said, no, they don't deserve. And those people are very amazing because, trust me, if he has issue with you, and at the same time you get into, you know, his examination and you write, he will never touch your marks because of that personal matter. You get 100, he give you 100. If you lose something, he will not give you. Even if it is 0 point something, you know. So the university just say, okay, no problem. Whoever has like one mark left, we don't care about him. We just make a person passing. So in those days, if you don't pass, then you cannot travel. They will not give you a ticket. Every year they give you a ticket to go home and visit your family. So you're going to live for 3 months alone with cats and the stories of jinn. Yeah, we heard a lot of stories of jinn in that place. So they said one of the student was there. He saw the question papers. He cried. He saw the question papers. He started crying. So the invigilator asked him, "What's wrong? What happened?" So he realized that his wife sent him a message that. Because for 2 years he did not go back home. She said, this is the final year. If he doesn't pass, that means she is divorced. She is going to... So when he sees the questions, you know, without even doing anything, when he sees the question, he knows that khalas, this is equal to divorce. Anyway, so he saw a letter from his wife. So he was scared of reading. What exactly is she going to tell him? So he kept the letter. Kept on studying for years, you know. One day he said, okay, I think that's enough for me. I get whatever I can get here. Let me go and visit my family. But let me see what this wife of mine is saying. He opened the letter. She is telling him that, please, if you see our letter, there is an emergency situation. You have to leave immediately and come to us. So, khalas, since when this letter was written? Maybe she is dead or somebody is gone. You know. However, they said he left the city. I mean, on the way, he left his house. On the way to leave the city, he passed a sister selling things on the street. at the side of the street, a woman. And then he heard her saying, Sheikh so-and-so-and-so was wrong in this issue. If he understand the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with the hadith so-and-so, you know, the way she is putting nusus here and there, you know, this is just an old woman in the street, you know. He says a country, even the old sisters in the street selling something, she is upon this knowledge and I'm leaving this country. So he tear the letter and go back to the house to remain in that place. Subhanallah, this is the past. Nowadays, you know, something, you know, you don't get air condition in your room, back to your family, you know. We have all the facilities, but look at the level of the knowledge, right? Better than Imam Malik and Shafi. They have to come and learn from us. UI students. Very smart, right? I ask my student, what do you think when we study hadith? The student in UI, are they du'afa or trustworthy in narration? Bil ijma, they told me du'afa, you know. Because every semester I have to ask people about what I taught them last semester, and you rarely find the people who know, except if you ma'dudina bil ashabi. And even those one, if you are to check properly, they have Sheikh Google next to them, and they have their book which they took note, you know, they're taken from it. If you are to take everything and ask them to talk, Allah musta'an. In the past, they were not like that. They memorized. So anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So there is no blame to have Ibn Kathir, you know, questioning some information given by the predecessors. Those one, they can do that because they do have the knowledge. Yeah, they are really well established in the knowledge. They know the value of those people, you know. That's why he bases his book on his writings. You get idea. Get almost everything from that except those places where he disagreed, and also other information which Ibn Jarir might be missing. So, wallahu alam, I believe also like what he says, that this is an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given of the munafiqeen who used to be believers, but then they decided to replace this faith with kufr. They used to be believers and then they decided to replace it with kufr. And Ibn Kathir says this is what is supported by the evidence from the Quran. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have the guidance, right? فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. How did they manage to use the guidance? Because they have it, right? So they have the iman, they see, you know, the light, you know, and they see the danger of, you know, the surrounding area, but then they decided to sell this iman with kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. So that's the first category of the munafiqeen. The second category, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِّنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the second example of the munafiqeen is like the sayyib min as-sama. Matar as-sayyib is the matar, you know, rain that comes from the sama. Sama means the clouds, the sky, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the second type of the munafiqeen. Because sometimes they are like this and sometimes they are like that. So Ibn Kathir says, هَذَا مَثَلٌ ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِضَرْبٍ آخَرٍ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَهُمْ قَوْمٌ يَظْهَرُ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ تَارَةً يَظْهَرُ لَهُمُ الْحَقُّ تَارَةً وَيَشْكُونَ تَارَةً أُخْرَى فَقُلُوبُهُمْ فِي حَالَةِ وَيَشْكُونَ تَارَةً أُخْرَى فَقُلُوبُهُمْ فِي حَالِ شَكِّهِمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ وَتَرَدُّدْهِمْ كَصَيِّبٍ. Ibn Kathir says this is a type of munafiqeen that sometimes they see the truth and they think of coming to the truth, and sometimes they will become in doubt. Is it really the correct way to do? So their heart, when they are in a state of doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's just like kasayib, rain that comes from the sama. أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Some of them said is the clouds. Know that carries the rain itself. Well, Ashhar Hu al-Matar, the most famous tafsir of the Sayyib is the one that says it is Matar. أو كصيب من السماء والأشهر هو المطر you know نزل من السماء في حال الظلمات you know you have the darkness and then the rain is coming you know during the time of the darkness وهي الشكوك والكفر these ظلمات that Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned about them these are the شكوك the doubt they have and the كفر which is in their heart and also the نفاق فيه ظلمات Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in that مطر and the clouds which are bringing the rain darkness, you see, it's very dark. So this is the example of the kufr in their heart. فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ What is Ra'd? The thunder, right? And this thunder, actually, that is an angel called Ra'd. Yeah, the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam confirmed, you know, that that is an angel called Ra'd. He's responsible, you know, to take care of the clouds, to send them to the place where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants. So what happens is, whenever a cloud wants to go to other places other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, this angel will hit it. So when he hit it with whatever he's hitting, you see the spark, that's the lightning. And also the sound will come, because usually when you see the lightning, then you should expect the thunder to come after that. That's right. Life khalqihi shu'un. SubhanAllah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ Nobody knows how many angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has except him. You know, human beings alone, how many angels do we have?
Four.
Minimum of four. Actually, you have more, you know, because you have the two writers, Raqib and Atid, you know, both of them have been described with the same name. And also you have, according to some scholars, Hafadha. There's two angels protecting you. And don't forget you have Qareen. From the angel and Qareen from the malai and the devils. You know, that's Qareen from the angel who is there with you to advise you to do the right thing and to stay away from the evil doings. They said, Ya Rasulullah, even you also you have Qareen? He said, Yes, I do have. He has Qareen from the devil and he has Qareen from the angels. Yeah. From the shayateen and from the angels. Qareen from the jinn. You know. Qareen from the jinn. Qareen min al-jinn, Qareen min al-malaik. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, even you also you have, he said, Yes, I have. Illa anna Allah a'anani alayhi fa aslam. Yeah, those of you who follow the Hawiya with us, I think nobody's here among those predecessors who used to come, so I will not blame you. But I will assume that even if you're there, you forgot by now. So in that we talk about this matter of how is it possible for the shaitan to accept Islam? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, except that Allah helped me upon mine, he also accepted Islam. SubhanAllah. Very excellent life. This angel will tell him, Ya Rasulullah, do this, it is good. The jinn also will tell him, yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is good to do. For Ibrahim, Hamad, Umar, and Mazin, and all of us, the angel will tell you, come to the class. The jinn will tell you, no, you are too exhausted. You can get it. You can catch up. There is a recording there. You know? And then you never listen to that recording. You know? Sorry, I use my class okay, as an example. But anyway, angel will tell you, do something because it is good for you. However, the jinn will tell you, no, don't go for that. So you have the nafsul ammara bisu also is pushing you to do the wrongdoing. You have the environment, if you're living in those environments, also pushing you to be involved in the wrongdoing. And you have the shaitan is telling you, do the wrongdoing. So many forces against one person. Only one helper, which is the angel. That's why when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would wake up at night, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His wife told him, it's too early. She enjoys that moment she is sleeping with her husband, and then just like that, he just left her. She said, my dear husband, where are you going? He said, I'm going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She told him, no, wallahi, we still have time. Please come back. So he said, a companion, it's very simple people. So he raised up his hand. He says, Ya Allah, Allahumma huma ithnan. one wahid. He says, Ya Allah, there are two. And I'm alone in this battle. She said, who is the next one? I don't see anyone except me. He said, Shaitan. SubhanAllah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya'qid shaitanu ala qafiyati ra'si ahadikum. You know, when you sleep, shaitan comes and make how many knots?
Three.
If you stand up and say, one of them will remain, right? I'm just trying to show how people are waking up, right? But if you stand up, wake up from your sleep, and say, SubhanAllah, you know, Alhamdulillah, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mention any of those adhkar the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, mentioned. Asbahna wa asbahal mulku lillah. Whatever dhikr the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, you manage to say it. One of these knots will be gone. You get it? One of these knots will be gone. If you go and make wudu, the other one will be gone. If you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third one will be gone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you will wake up in the morning, nasheet an nafs, happy. Yeah. So those who are living in their family, always moody when they wake up, should check the way they are sleeping, you know. Iwallah, it has impact. We might say, no. That's some other fact. No, this is the first one, you know. Your sleep is not according to the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised you to do. You're waking up. So that's why you wake up disoriented every time, moody with the family. I always tell the family that, in English we call it good morning, no? Sabahul khair. Yani, you wake up happy. You know? Not like you wake up and very sensitive, you know, that whoever touches you is ready to fight. What is this, you know? Yeah, you're supposed to wake up nasheed, but as I said, it has also relation to the way you are sleeping and the way you're waking up. On top of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaitan comes to you whenever you decide to wake up. I want you to understand why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Shaitan is there fighting and the wife is telling him, come. Which one is stronger? The wife. Yeah, because it's the one that he sees. You know, he doesn't want to have a bad relationship with her, you know. She might convince him to come back to keep the good mood in the house. That's why he said, Ya Allah, I need support here. The one with the shaitan, maybe he can fight it. But the one with the wife is so strong. That's why she told him, just go pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are sleeping, the moment you start thinking of waking up, shaitan will come and sing song. Even human songs also make the person drunk, right? They call this music and all of these things alatul tarb. Tarb means controlling, moving your body. Is that true? Yes, it is. Iwallah. If you are to bring a boy who had never experienced this, young baby, right, and you have the music next to him, look at the way the baby will be acting. The body automatically will be reacting. What does that mean? The heart is reacting, you know. That's why the companions and the scholars said it kills the heart. Iwallah. Believe it or not, it kills the heart. Either Quran or this, one of them has to remain in. It's no good in it at all. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even nasheed, the good one, he says it is better for you to fill your heart with qayh. You know, the past, those mixture of water with the blood when somebody is injured, akramakumullah. It's better for you to drink that one and fill your stomach and your heart with it than filling it with the nasheed that is halal. He's not talking about halal and haram here, but he's talking about exaggeration and listening to it too much. So the scholar said, if this is the halal one, what do you think about the haram one? Because he listened to the halal one and he tried also to imitate them, but although he always destroyed the rhyme, you know. Because Allah says, مَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. It is inappropriate for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a poet. But he allows it, and it's okay for a person to be a poet, to write it as long as he's saying halal, describing something good. You know, songs have no problem as long as you don't attach them to the instrument. Once the instrument comes here, this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you become haram. And before the Day of Judgment, Allah will turn some people into pigs and monkeys. That's hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Pigs and monkeys. Why? He said because they legalize these four things. Khamr. That's the wine, and the wearing of the silk for the brothers, the natural one, not the artificial one. The artificial one is okay, unless if a person is going to look like a woman, then it's haram for him to wear it, not because of silk, no, because of imitation of the opposite gender. For the sisters, no problem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for, to have this nature. It's inappropriate for a man to have this. For them, if they do it in the correct way, they will be rewarded. That's how it is. She wears, she dressed properly for the husband, she will be rewarded, for that. But for the brothers, they are not supposed to have this. They're supposed to be neat, okay, good presentable person, but not to that level. Wearing gold is haram for the brothers. And the same goes to the silk. So we're talking about the natural one. The artificial one, unless if a person is going to look like a woman, then he doesn't do it because of that. And number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was zina. He says, al-hira. Hira is a farj, is an aura. They will make it halal. So that's a zina. Kinaya and a zina. It will be rampant, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Nowadays it is rampant, not even now, even before. It is rampant, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our community. And you can expect diseases, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that hadith, which I invite you to go and check it in Muwatta Imam Malik and the books of Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned around five things. When people do them, Allah will visit them with the opposite. One of these things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he says, people, whenever promiscuity is openly practiced among a people, a plague and calamity and anguish will be afflicted upon them. And this plague and anguish is not something that is known to them, and this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illa fasha fihim at-ta'un wal awja'u allati lam takun madat fi aslafihim alladhina madat. This disease, AIDS, and any other disease of that nature, go and ask even their grandparents, they don't know anything about that, But, waliyadhu billah, Waliyadhu billah. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. His statement will never be wrong. He says, either we become decent, we observe Sharia correctly, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will visit us with these calamities and sickness and diseases that are not known to our predecessors. So we are experiencing all of these. So it is our job, to create this awareness in our community. Iwallah, you do it, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is protection for your family. Yeah, don't you ever laugh, and think that this is those people, the parents are not giving them good tarbiyah, and you stay and watch. Wallahi, it will come to your family also if you're not careful. Yeah, either you fix it or it will affect also your family. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa hakama qawmun bighayri ma anzala Allah illa fasha fihim ad-dam." He said, "The people will never use other than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that bloodshed will be widely spread among them." Yeah, the amount that you are seeing in some of our countries, the reason why it happens, it is because of this. We use other than the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge people. People think that if you are applying the Sharia, that means so many heads are going to be cut off. Uqsimu billah, this is kadhib, this is a lie. If we apply the Sharia, only a few hands will be gone. Only a few heads will be gone. And I can assure you that peace is going to take place. You might drop your things and come back and get it after days. Nobody's willing to take it because of the muraqab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and also government is very serious in that matter. You can leave your door open. You can leave your car open. Nobody's going to take it. You have few cases of theft in the country. Few cases, if any, of murder in the country. This is what we have in the past, we had in the past that yes, whenever Sharia is fully applied, this is what happened. But unfortunately, they managed to convince people that whenever you say Sharia, the first thing that comes to the mind is hands are going to be cut off, heads are going to be cut off. This is lying. This is lying. Iwallah. There's a lie against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Sharia of Allah, if you go to the hudud and the qisas, the percentage of hudud and the qisas in the Sharia is very little. Very little. Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all about tarbiyah. You have discipline. People are supposed to be well managed. So the government is supposed to be engaging in, giving tarbiyah to the community in the way that they have a little amount of cases being presented to them. But unfortunately, we don't want this one. We replace it with other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So our life started to turn into the life in the Western community. Yeah, those one they don't have. And that's why some of these places, you know, the life in that place is terrible. Life in that place is terrible. Yeah. And even in those places, you can see the Muslims who are living in that place, their own territories is more peaceful than the other places, you know. They also khatar, you know, but in comparison to the other places, they have been more peace than. And the Prophet ﷺ said, these are the things I remember from that hadith. You can go and check it. It's really important for you to understand that. Inshallah, most likely we might be covering it in the book of Ashraat al-Sa'ah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, وَمَا مَنَعَ قَوْمٌ الزَّكَاءِ إِلَّا مُونِعُ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He says that people will never stop paying the zakah except that Allah SWT is going to stop them from getting rain from the sama. Or Allah SWT will give the rain, but no barakah in that which you are producing. You know, we witness this a lot. You know, he says, "Lolal bahaim," if not because of the animals and the children, the innocent, you know, people who are not involved in these, and the insects, we will not get a drop of water from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Ya Allah. Nowadays, how many Muslims are not paying the zakah? A lot. With the existence of the taxes, also you have Muslims who are not paying the zakah because they say, we pay the taxes. Taxes are a relationship between a person and the government. Zakah is between you and Allah. Taxes cannot replace the zakah at all. A person has to pay the zakah in the way Allah SWT prescribed. Imagine if everyone is paying the zakah. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you might look for a needy in a community, I mean, you don't find. Everyone has something to make him satisfied. Not rich, but has something to eat, has something to drink, has something to wear, has something to educate himself. Not rich, but he has something to live with. But because we don't do, and the few among us who are giving the zakah, we disturb this zakah with a lot of ijtihadat. Yeah, give the zakat, he gives, we give. And then Ramadani, who is in charge of zakat, department, he says, wallahi, we have thousands of people who are looking for the zakat, and this little amount of money cannot suffice them. We only got 500 million. Only. And as such, we need more, so that we can accommodate the needs. So what to do? Mazin, the Mufti, will give him fatwa and tell him, no problem, we go for investment. So what is the investment? We go and buy something so that we can increase the money. You know, sometimes investment can go for years before you start generating the profit. So those guys who are the masakeen in your community, who are there in the hospital, couldn't find something to help them to get the medication, they will die. Maybe they have to write the wasiyah. Inshallah, our grandchildren, maybe you will be able to benefit from the zakah given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, this is how it is, you know. I'm putting it in this way, you know, but this is the reality, you know. Somebody is there in jail, not because he doesn't want to pay the debt, but he live in a place where the judge took him to the jail because he couldn't pay the restitution that he owes others. You have somebody in the house, trust me, doesn't have what to eat. Wallah, doesn't have what to eat. He and his family members, you know. I heard one of the scholars saying that some people among us, if Ramadan comes, is a mercy for them. Unless they are doing some ibadat, because their life is always Ramadan. Yeah, but at least now in Ramadan, they know that not eating is fasting. And then the trouble, you know, the problem they face is when the sun sets. What to do now? Although life will not change that much, you know, in that case, but when the sun set, what to do now? Yeah. And I have my zakah, but I send it to the investment, you know. And you also send it to the investment. And if this money is missing, who is responsible? Of the other. Never be responsible. You will say, I just gave the fatwa. I'd never force them to take it. So, people lost. That's why zakat You know, and I hope you guys will understand properly. Zakat is prescribed by the Sharia to address current needs of the people. I'm rich, he's rich, she's rich, all of us are rich people. You have another community there who are not rich. Right? My zakah is due in Laylatul Qadr. I want to take all of the favor, right? Hamad is in Rajab. Anyway, my zakah is due in Ramadan. Hamad's zakah is in Shawwal. Mazin is in, which month? Dhul Qaada. Umar is in Dhul Hijjah. You know, and there we go. Kareem, Kareema, everyone has his own time. So I pay my zakah, they take it and they give people, you know. They distribute it among the needy people, you know, they don't get enough. But then after 1 month, Hamad is going to pay. They top up, you know. That's how it is. So continuously, they will never lack support from the community. That's how it is, you know. I pay this month, you know, and I just use myself. But in reality, you know, you have huge amount of people who are going to be paying zakah in 1 month. Next month also, a lot of people are going to be paid. If every single cent being paid by these people is going to be utilized in the fuqara, trust me, we will not have the problem we are having nowadays. In many places we have our children borrowing money. And then always they ask question, is it halal? Is it halal? Because we have to pay interest in the future, is it halal? Although it's wrong fatwa to give students zakah, is it correct? Or the fatwa is wrong? Anyway, I'm just trying to get your opinion here. Yeah, because in zakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fuqara wal masakeen. Can we pass it to the student of knowledge? No, they have to qualify, you know, one of the categories. The scholar said they have to be poor. Usually you give them based on the category of fi sabilillah. Go to the student and ask them, you are studying this, is it fi sabilillah? Yeah, even IRK student, I guess most of them will fail, you know. Ask him, please be honest, are you studying fi sabilillah or fi sabilil mal? Fi sabilil job. Yeah, that's honest, right? We study to get a good job in the future, you know. So even based on this, fatwa, which is wrong, also the application is wrong, you know, because you're supposed to take it fi sabilillah, and the one that you give him, he's not doing it fi sabilillah. Why do you give him? So the scholar said it's simple, they have to be poor. And subhanAllah, there are many, many, many students, they are really poor, they don't have. So you can provide them with the money, you give them, and we forgive one condition, which is being able to go and provide for themselves. Because when they study, they will become busy with the study. And in some countries, you cannot combine between study and work. Now, so you can give them from the charity, from the zakah, as long as they're poor. SubhanAllah, thousands of our children, thousands of brothers and sisters who are under a loan. You can imagine how much this can give them relief to go and pursue and continue their education rather than going to invest it. And we don't know where it goes. So these ijtihadat, wallahi, it kills. And I can understand why, because we rely upon those people who are not qualified and they have dunya in their heart. Yeah? They have in some institution, you know, if you are... That's why one of the best way to... I mean, it should be the worst way, you know, to become rich is to open a charity organization. Yeah, because that money is not supervised by anyone. Who comes and follows what you do? Yeah. You Allah, who comes and... Yeah. You woke up sometimes. I'm telling you practical and, you know, the experience. Sometimes you wake up, you don't have a single cent in your pocket. And in the account of the foundation, you have millions. Tell me, which iman, you know, can tell you not to touch? You see them, you know, but you can't touch because this is not yours. But our brothers, in those foundations, somebody told them that any zakat that comes from you, to you, you divide it by 8 and take 1/8 because you are al-amilun alayha. Zakat collectors. Okay, I'm in my office. This is my office, huh? Adam came as a rich person with his zakat and meet me in the office and then tell me, please, I want you to pass the zakat to a needy. I take from him. Am I a zakat collector? Or am I an agent of a rich person to help him to disburse the zakat according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? Which one?
The agent.
Zakat collector, if you go back to the fuqaha, zakat collector is somebody who is assigned by the government because it is the job of the government. Government cannot go and do it by themselves. They have to have agents, people who will go and do it on their behalf. That person is going to the territory of the rich people, go to the company and take the zakah and come back and look for the people who are in need and distribute the zakah for them. How is it possible for you to go to an organization and take the organization as a zakah collector and tell them they can take their operational cost from the zakah? On what base? People are poor, they don't have any business, but they become so rich. And I'm not saying, I know risk of Allah SWT is everywhere, but you know, common sense says that this person is always in this office. Where did he get this money? But somebody tell him that he can be acting as a zakat collector and take a portion from the zakat. That's why you don't see the impact, because they have to make themselves rich first before they think about others. And trust me, once that money gets into their heart, it is not easy for it to come out. So it's very dangerous to have an organization, unless if you decided not to sleep. You Allah, I'm telling you, based on experience, Wallahi, sometimes you can't. You have to be awake. You have to put chili in your eyes to make sure that, yes, you are ready to be hated by people. Yeah, you want to do the correct thing? I'm telling you, you're going to be hated by so many people. Because you are between two people. One who is contributing to the success of your project, but he wants to do it in his own way. And you have somebody who wants to help you, but he also is doing it in his own way. Yeah, last one to grant us good. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people will never stop paying the zakah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped giving them al-qatra min as-sama. He says, لَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمِ لَمْ يُمْطَرُوا, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if not because of the baha'im, the animals and the insects, we will not receive a single rain. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give us, but He will take it away from us. So it's good to know these type of hadith so that we can make a connection. Why are we in the state of, you know, tragedy these days? Why are we in trouble? Yeah, it is because we're violating every single part of these hadith mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never be wrong. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq, and help us to understand the religion correctly and to apply it at the individual level, which will, inshallah, convince our leaders and authority also to do that which is right in us. Because kama takunu yuwalla alaykum. We are just like the reflection of the authority, right? Always we point, the leader, the king is not doing this, this and that, but you in your shop, what are you doing? At home, what are you doing? In your business, what are you doing? In the community, what are you doing? You know that these are evil things, and then you expect the leaders to be perfect, and you're not. You always blame them, and you don't fix yourself. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi-anfusihim. So it's my personal invitation and advice to each and every one of us. Just close your eyes. Don't look at anyone. Just focus on yourself. Fix yourself. Fix your family. Everyone should do that. Bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, the society will be fixed and our leaders also will be a reflection of our own behavior and attitude. We change, Allah will change. We don't change, Allah will let us understand the evil consequence of, you know, evil behaviors and manners and attitude. May Allah grant you good. So let's stop here, inshallah. I continue next class, bi-idhni Allah azza wa jalla. And we agree, inshallah, to continue with tafsir until the end of Ramadan, bi-idhni Allah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. The first question, Sheikh, from Sister Murni. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. أحسن الله إليكم في الدنيا والآخرة. Is there any prerequisite for a student to read tafsir of Ibn Jarir? Must it be read with a teacher?
Yeah, those who reach Ibn Jarir, there should be somebody who is already having good background in knowledge. If you start with those huge book, you increase your confusion. You know, so advice for the beginners in learning, you know, the tafsir, they should start with the simple ones. And those tafsir that are, you know, concerned with just giving you the translation of the words. Al-Jazairi has one, Al-Suyuti also has one. These are very small, and also recently you have the collection done by the scholars in Medina, the small tafsir, and you have tafsir al-Baghawi. So after that one, then you can move to those other simple tafsir based on the lessons, like tafsir al-Sa'di. Very good tafsir, very good. Because it's just based on lessons, and adab being extracted from the ayat. So it just gives you a general understanding of ayah and what you can generate from the ayah. You get it? Then after that, you move to Mutawwalat, Ibn Kathir, you know, Fathul Qadir, Shawkani, you know. After that, then you move to whatever you want. Tafsir Ibn Jarir, Qurtubi, and those heavy tafsir, you know, at Tahrir wa Tanweer, those big ones, you know. Inshallah.
The next question is from Sister Lubna. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ahsan Allahu alaikum. Some people say that since Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months, they estimate that 1 hour is 8 years of worship, and 1 second is equal to 19 hours, and so on. And they use this to motivate people to make the most out of the last 10 nights. Is it okay to make these estimations?
How did they know that? I will advise.
Huh?
No problem. I just advise those people. The time they spend in calculation, do some tasbih and istighfar, you know, and get istighfar, you know, being counted for them before, you know. The best is just say what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It's better than whatever you do for 1,000 months. He said better. Up to what level? Allahu alam. You get it? Whatever calculation you're going to have, you know? Yeah. Up to what level? So the best is just leave it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, better than أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, 1,000 months. You know?
Next question, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahsan Allah ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. Regarding the intention for prayer, sometimes when we pray Taraweeh in congregation, the Imam prays lesser rak'at of Taraweeh and moves on to Witr, not as usual. Will this affect our prayer as we intended for Taraweeh but followed the Imam and prayed Witr?
What does he do? He prays lesser.
The Imam prays lesser rak'at of Taraweeh, and he moves on to Witr.
Well, he prays one two rak'at and then to Witr?
La adri, Sheikh.
It's okay, Taraweeh. Less than 11 rak'at, new version. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You pray with the Imam, you finish when the Imam finished. Wait until he finishes. Finish up to that one, and then khalas, you're done. That's why the first place, choose a masjid that inshallah, you don't need to come and ask for fatwa. You know.
And the next question, Sheikh, is from Sister Amina. Assalamu alaikum. Are memberships with annual fees allowed?
Membership card that a person is purchasing from?
I guess so.
The shop below?
Any membership?
No. Those ones, there are two types of them. The one that you are sure that what is promised will be given to you. What is promised will be given to you. As long as you have this card, you buy something, we give you free, one free. Buy one free one. And you know that these people never broke their promise. Whenever you have it, you go, they give it. This one, the scholar said, you can even buy with money, no problem. Because it's a win-win situation, and usually people buy as long as they are okay. Because you have prodigal also who doesn't need it, but he buys. So as long as you are sure that you will get that which they promise, you can even buy with money. Is that clear? You can buy with money. However, the one that you are not sure, you know, they might give, they might not give, this one, you cannot buy it with money, unless if they are going to present it as a gift for you. Yeah. For example, membership in the khutut, the airlines, they give you some miles, they give you some extra cages. But how many times a person goes, they tell him, no, this time around we close this. Yeah, so that's gambling. If you buy, you pay money, that's gambling. But you can take it free. Free is okay. Because it's a win-win situation, and free, you don't pay anything. Yeah? You get the idea? So free, you can take it. If it is free, you can take. But if it is not free, then it is only halal for something that you are sure that if you buy, they will keep their promise. Because as I said, smart people don't buy a membership unless if they know that they are frequently coming back to the place. Otherwise, why would I buy the membership? I pay money from it, and I know that this thing I only buy it in the case of necessity. You get it? Then you shouldn't buy those membership if a person is smart, except a prodigal is the one who will go and buy. So these ones are okay if you are sure they will give. So you can take it, inshallah, except one. Which one? Yeah? Sure? I know. He went so far, you see. Except one. It's halal to take, but I just would prefer not take it. No. Pharmacy. I went to a pharmacy, they told me, you have membership? I said, no. Would you like one? No. Why would I hope to come to the... So I see it as the tasha'um, you know. I don't want to see the hospital in my life, you know. Why would I take membership? So I see it, if I take membership to become a member of the hospital, I want to come back to them, you know. Anyway, but it's halal if they can keep their word for those people who are, you know, they have some diseases that they kept on going. Yeah, it's good for them to take it as long as the company will keep its word, you know. Yes.
From a brother, Sheikh. When their brother goes to a sister's house to talk to each other with the parents' permission for marriage purposes, is the brother allowed to see the sister without hijab if the father consents?
Wait. No. The Hanafis, they don't say this. We don't have Hanafi here? Ah, she should be defending the Hanaf. Okay, the scholars, they said when it comes to looking for a sister in the sense of when you want to marry, you know, most of the scholars said you do have a right to look at only three things. Yeah, what are they? The face, the hand, and the feet. That's it. You go beyond that, they said you will be sinning. Yeah. Because they said whatever you want, you get it from those ones. I'm just trying to quote what they said, you know. Whatever you want, they said, you get that one. If you're looking for the beauty, where do you get it? From the leg? From the face, right? You see that one. If you're looking for softness, you get it from? From the hands, right? Yeah. Looking for the smoothness of the skin. And I'm just translating what the scholar said. Don't go and say, Ibrahim, become a gangster. They say they get it from the feet. So those ones can give a person a clue, you know, to know who is he going to be staying with. However, there is another opinion, three opinions actually. One of them is batin. That is the one that says everything is permissible except the two private parts. This one is batin, batin, batin. It's an illa sawatin. Batin. The third one is a moderate one. It's the one that says if what usually is exposed culturally by a sister at home, you know, is accidentally uncovered, can that person, you know, accidentally can he also look at that one, you know? Or he has to restrict himself to those three things. Yeah, that opinion says it's okay. Yeah, what are these places that are culturally being exposed when a sister is at home alone? Yeah. The hair, the neck, the head, the hands, you know, the shin, right? And the leg. Yeah. So any of those one that is exposed accidentally, a sister shouldn't come to the place like this for a person. This one, la yajuz. I have no doubt that this is wrong. She comes without hijab, just somebody to see her. What is this? That's wrong. However, if let's say he managed, you know, I don't know what way he uses, but he managed to see her on any of those things which are usually exposed culturally when she's alone at home or with the maharim, not alone, when she's at home with the maharim, then it's okay. That's the most moderate opinion. You get the idea? That's the most moderate opinion. Other than that, light juice. You know. Other than that, if a person does it, then he is committing a sin. He has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know. Get it? And also looking, how many times he can look?
Once.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, Yusuf is not the only mufti we have, you know. He said only once. Sheikh said la ilaha illallah. So this fatwa is so wrong, it needed some tasbih, right? Some istirja. Yeah. Can a person go back again and the first meeting is not enough? Can he go back again?
Yes.
It's possible. Because maybe he was so scared of the parent because they were there and he was also shivering. And this is the first time also he will have this experience. Not everyone will be brave to look, you know. And that's good, that's good. We want this to happen, actually. Yeah, so that the interest to meet them will be so much, you know. Yawallah, it's good. But he is allowed to look. And Ibn Uthaymeen says, يُدَقِّقُ النَّظَرُ. He can focus so much also, no problem. But she tells, why you look at me so... anyway. But he has a right to do that. But he must make sure that this looking does not lead to istimta. Istimta means pleasure, having pleasure and enjoyment. Because nadhar is legalized by the Sharia lil-isti'lam. Do you remember this? Huh? Lil-isti'lam. To get information. La lil-istimta. Not to enjoy. If a person enjoys, does he get sin?
Yes.
No. He looks and then it goes beyond the limit. I mean, that look, he look and then bring his head down. But then his brain kept on twisting up and down and then he enjoys what he sees. Does he get sin? No. However, if he continues to enjoy, then that would be the problem. If he intends to look so that he can enjoy, then he will get sin. Yeah. You get how it works? Yeah, that's fiqh. Yeah, that's fiqh. So, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and help people to do things in the correct way. Yeah, that's why when this happens, a sister should come. If let's say that she covers her face, she should come to the place ready. Not when the man comes and then she take off her niqab. It doesn't look nice. She just sit down before he comes, she should be ready in that place and dress properly. Then when he comes, you see her the way she is, and that's it. No makeup, no make down or anything. That's a normal person. Yeah. Allah grant us good. Next question. Nobody?
I
wish you say yes, and then I close the class and run.
They pray with right after the Taraweeh. So, if someone wants to pray more, let's say in the last half, any last one third of the night, then is it allowed for him to add one more rakah with the Taraweeh so that he prays with later on?
Oh, that's kind of a prayer that they said you send one rakah to go and destroy the old one, right?
No, not like that.
Not like that?
Yeah. So
I mean, with the Taraweeh, you added one rakah.
One rakah.
That one is okay, inshallah. The best solution. You add one rakah, then you don't have witr. And later on, you can pray. But I really advise a person who prays in the place where they pray 11. Just pray that one, that's it.
I mean, they pray 23, then they pray.
Oh, that one. They already went beyond the limits, so. So even if you add in the future, just already destroy the system so you can keep adding. But don't pray with it again.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
In the last 10 nights, they pray Taraweeh, and then they don't pray Witr. And then they pray another set at the last part of the night, and then Witr. Now, for us to get the reward for Qiyamul Layla, should we come back and pray with the Imam?
I don't know. That prayer, when they finish the first one, that one is finished. When they come back again at night, this is the second prayer, another prayer. That's why if they are praying 11, usually in the Qiyamul Layl, I think they pray 11 rakat. I will choose for you not to pray the Taraweeh. If you're making the itikaf, just sit behind and read your Quran. Do your dhikr, sit and get some energy, or sleep immediately right after Isha prayer. Sleep and get energy for the Qiyamul Layl in the future. That's better than being exhausted and then the Qiyamul Layl is not being properly done. So just keep that, the Taraweeh, to get energy, read Quran, sleep, and then wait for the Qiyam and then pray with them and the Witr. Khalas? That's it. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Inna wa bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.